It's great to have you back on again, Tim. I think this is maybe a sixth time we've had a talk over the years since you've been vocal on this issue. First and foremost, what do people need to know about the current status of addressing the UFO cover-up within government? What actions are being taken? Can we expect any more hearings or whistleblower testimony in the near future?
Well, the cover-up continues, of course. We get told one thing, and then we get somebody else comes and tells us another. And I've been told by some young person with some authority in a very arrogant tone that we're being fooled and just chasing our tail kind of thing. And then I talked to one of the best pilots in the world who tells me that he had something 14 feet from his craft, inside his canopy, I think is the word he used. And he held up his hand like that. And I've talked to former officers, former intelligence people, and the list goes on. But again, I think the only th we can have all the hearings people want. We can pass all these amendments and things, and really, the amendment they tried to pass was it's basically set up the same apparatus for releasing documents that they did for the Kennedy assassination, and that's what everybody on the UFO UAP community seems to want. But Kennedy was assassinated in 61, and we know about as public knows about as much as we did the week after it happened. So I'm not real confident in, I mean, how are you going to trust a government that has continuously lied to you, at least since 1947? And the world's governments have done basically the same thing. So it's going to take a president, executive office with the guts to release that. I was pleased to hear Trump when they were asking him about all these different things, the Kennedy files, 9/11, all this other stuff. He said he was going to release it all. And I take him at his word because he said that about Israel. He was going to move the embassy there, and everybody's promised to do that till they get elected. And it's going to be a World War III. Well, he did it. Not a shot was fired. I'm hoping maybe that he'll have the guts to do it if he's elected. And that's my hope. And we'll probably have another hearing. I was talking to Luna about it. She and I talked, I guess, last week. Representative Luna out of Florida, and we've agreed that we need to do another hearing. And so the chairman is the one who facilitates that, him and the speaker, and we've had very positive conversations about that with them. So I'm hoping we I'm hoping that we further the cause that way. But the hearings, is just going to be somebody's word against somebody else's word. And as soon as we put it out, the mainstream media's hit squads, from the intelligence agencies will try to destroy them like they did David Grush.
I've definitely noticed a bit of a shift in temperament. I think that the issue that people have is that we've got a lot of claims. We've got a lot of words now, some testimony, but we need some real evidence. We need some real actionable intelligence. And do you have any optimism in that coming through government channels at all?
Not really. Not really. Again, they've lied to us since 1947. Why would they tell us the truth now all of a sudden? Because a congressional committee of all things in Congress has been a large part of helping facilitate them cover that up, either intentionally or just, Congressmen are basically lazy people. They're just spoon-fed so much, and they rely on their staff so much. They just kind of become complacent. You really don't need to squash something or to censor something. You don't need to talk to the congressman. You just need to talk to the staffer that oversees that, that fills their heads with knowledge, because it's not, you have these chairmen that don't want to do anything, and their committee and the committee staff runs it, and they know it.
Who was the young, arrogant man that said you were chasing your tail? You seemed a little bit.
I'll let that go. Just some 30-year-old with a man bun kind of deal. you know, it was very arrogant. And so I just let it go. We'll deal with him later. I would hope he'd be looking for a new job under another administration, but we'll see.
What do you think the general public can really do to assist in a push for more transparency? Yeah.
Stop voting for people that don't want transparency, or just tell them that you want transparency. You know, and 15% of the pop, I don't know how it is over the sea, overseas there, but, you know, 15% of the population votes. And then, you know, I know all these people that are out here raising Cain about this aren't voting. And because if they were, they would call into question why their representative isn't more supportive. And then you have ranking members on these committees that are just killing everything we bring forward. I can't even get my amendments called up. It's always, oh, it violates our rules. That does some other kind of plateau thing. Yet their bogus amendments that fund all their bogus projects get on, you know, and it's just the system. Is it frustrating? Absolutely. Can we do something about it? Absolutely. Will we do something about it? Probably not, because the voters won't hold these people accountable. Because I guarantee you the vast majority of the people, I get complaints about this across our great country, the vast majority of them don't vote, or they don't even know who their representative is or their senator. So, I think every public forum, I'd go ask them, what do you think about UAP UFO disclosure? And where are you on those amendments?
Do you think this will figure into the upcoming election in terms of a talking point that the administrations might use to bolster support?
Well, they're smart, they will, but they're in politics, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're smart.
You've commented on what you see as the more spiritual elements of the UFO phenomenon. Tucker Carlson also has made some statements about believing this is in some way a spiritual phenomena, even going so far as to say he believes it may be some form of demonic presence in some cases. And recently you made reference to methods of attempting to initiate contact or communication with other intelligent life forms using methods of spiritual practice or meditation. And you commented on this recently, saying that you believe these practices can open people up to demonic forces. So why do you think that?
It's just my belief. We're warned about those kind of things in the scripture, and, you know, people mess with the Ouija boards and all these things. Yeah, they're sometimes they're just a fun little game, but then you people that are open to demonic suggestion, I think they can have those. I mean, you know, why do sane people perform mass shootings or relatively sane people work in a hospital and poison a bunch of people? You know, that's just, so that's not normal, and the mental health issue is an issue. And I just think that the demonic forces could use these things to seances and things like that that are not intended to be used. That's just my belief system. I don't know. I haven't. I hope Tucker Carlson doesn't see this, but I missed the interview where he was talking about that. I think it was on Rogan, maybe Joe Rogan, and now Rogan's talked about me some, and I've been on Tucker's show, and I'm not doubting that. I just, you know, I keep going back to, I don't want to be diverted by all that, because all those things are very important issues, but I want to know what we're spending the money on. Turn over the files, turn over the pictures, turn over the movies, turn over the interviews of people, and let's let the American public decide that. That would resolve everything. I keep saying it's not about little green men or flying saucers, but ultimately it is, and our curiosity there. And, but we're never going to satisfy that curiosity until we get a total disclosure on what in the world we're looking at.
Well, this is it. I mean, you know, yes, it is about flying saucers and little green men, and also whatever else it might be representative of, because there seems to be quite a wide spectrum of different phenomena. It goes all the way back through time, all the way into the pre-BC period. I mean, you've spoken sure. Times about, you know, the Wheel of Ezekiel and other phenomena that's been reported throughout time. So I don't disagree with you when you are tempted to look at it through a spiritual lens, because there is obviously some form of a technological thing that's going on, but I don't know if that's the same as some of these other more mystical or more spiritual elements that seem to be involved that do actually involve an unknown, something we're not quite sure what the interaction is. So being sensible and being cautious in a space like that, I think is probably a good thing to do. But also, I think recognizing that there's kind of a yin and a yang, or as above, so below, right? So there's maybe some positive entities, positive influences that want to try and help us, as well as potentially negative manipulative forces. It's perhaps a bit of a dynamic between the two. Would you agree?
I would agree 100%. I've talked to people that have been involved in exorcisms, and they talk about how it's very important that you're ever involved in one of those, that you are spiritually right with the Lord, because that evil that inhabits that person will be looking for a new vessel. Did this demonic activity just stop somewhere in time? And I don't believe it has. I've talked to too many people that have been there. You know, my uncle was a Baptist preacher. He was spiritually pretty strong as well. Just because you're a preacher doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot to me. And he talked about a fella he knew was involved in a exorcist and our exorcism. I don't want to get off on this too much, but they were attempting to cast a demon out on somebody. And the guy who was obviously possessed, he was just sitting at a chair, and he said, "If I could get these chains off me, I would kill you." And he obviously didn't have chains on him. And I'll tell you one thing that happened to me one time. This was in college. I'm a pretty straight guy. I didn't drink or smoke pot or do anything stupid. Still took me 6 years to get out of college, but that's beside the point. I remember this guy was just going crazy. It was one night, and I remember it, and I saw him off in the distance, and he came around, started running, and I'm pretty hard-headed, and I just stood there, and I remember praying and said, "Lord, please protect me." And the guy got right up in my face, and he looked at me, and he was taller than me, and he was looking down at me, and he said, "I don't want none of you." And he turned around and went off, and I was like, "Wow, power of prayer." But I just look. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with all these things. I'm not critical of them. I just want people to be careful of what's going on, because there are some charlatans out there. There are people that are pushing the UFO agenda that are just looking for the next following, the next book to sell, the next interview or whatever. And I just worry about that. And, back to our hearing idea, though, I'm trying to make it a very bipartisan thing, as you know, and that's very difficult because of just the nature of Congress. But this is the one issue I think that is very, very bipartisan. But I made some comments about Chuck Schumer, about his amendment that didn't go on, and I said to the people involved, I was like, "He's helping us. He's helping." I said, "Well, we'll see. We'll see." And then his amendment didn't go on. This is the most powerful guy in the world. This is the guy that the reason we're spending $160 billion in Ukraine. The guy that's responsible for a lot of policy changes and maneuvers in this country. And he can't get an amendment on about UFOs? Come on. I mean, come on. And then if people took that as partisan, I said, "Well, the Republicans in charge aren't doing any better. It's just that he put an amendment forward and it didn't get on. And then he went on the Senate floor and complained about it. And nobody was talking about it afterwards." That should have been the story of the decade right there.
What do you think happened there?
I just don't think it was ever intended to pass. I don't think it was ever intended to pass. And that's what I think. I don't think anything, I'm not suggesting that anybody did anything crooked. But I'm not suggesting anything did anything right either, because it was, they don't want anything near it, even though it would set up a bureaucracy to I felt like it was just too weighted against the public knowing and transparency. I just feel like they don't want any movement at all. They keep it just like it is, because they got it. They control all the cards, all the locations, all the intelligence, all the material, everything. And they don't want to change that up. They don't even want to alert the public to there is something that they're looking at. Because once you put it in statute that we're going to open this thing up to look at stuff, it immediately says, well, what are you opening up to look at? And that's the key. So I just think it was intentionally canned. I really do. Even though it was a crappy amendment, I would have liked to see mine go on it just to open the books.
Did you catch the recent SALT conference in New York with people like Colonel Carnell?
I did not.
It was interesting. One of the reasons I bring it up is because I think he was a U.S. Air Force colonel, but Colonel Carl Nell, he publicly, in this SALT conference, which is quite a big kind of financial investment conference out in New York, he supported claims made by the former Israeli space security chief, Chaim Eshed, who was quoted to have said that elements of the U.S. government are in direct communication and contact with non-human intelligences, and that, you know, deals have been made. And he even said, like, this is Chaim Eshed, he even said that President Donald Trump is aware of this situation. And I just found it really incredible that Colonel Carnell went on stage and basically validated and personally supported Chaim Eshed's claims. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, if they have this kind of control, they would, you know, I just don't see Trump not being in the White House if he had that kind of information. And if he thought he could get elected by saying, hey, this group's trying to keep me out, because, I mean, that would be a huge issue. If he could name names but, you know, they always talk about, I've talked a lot about how people are compromised in this game. So never say never, but it's almost a bridge too far for me. I think a lot of times, and you could probably put a lie detector on those two guys, lie detector test, polygraph, and they'd probably pass it because that's what they believe. That's what they've been told, and that's what they've been shown. And I think that's why we've got so many white flags. That's why I have numerous meetings, telephone calls with people, and I'm very cautious about putting out who it is or what it is, because I'm afraid that it's not true. And it's being put on me so that I'll put it out. And then it's easily disproven. Because, you know, we were told, I won't go into specifics of when and where, but I was told, a group of us were told that, you know, we're chasing our tail, basically, and this stuff doesn't exist and it's bogus. And they mentioned a couple of incidences that you and I would point a finger to and said, no, I think that's pretty interesting. I'd like to know about that. And we asked about those, and he said that they were fakes. That didn't happen, or something along those lines. And then we said, well, have you analyzed the data from the airplanes? You know, because your eyes can lie to you. I mean, you know, there's all kind of mirages and reflections and different kinds of things. Well, And he said, no, I haven't looked at the data. And this is a guy overseeing this, claiming that he was in charge of it.
And is this the Nimitz case and the Roosevelt, or?
Possibly.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
ones that we're familiar with that have been discussed publicly.
I'll just agree with you just to be agreeable. But, but besides that, the fact that the arrogance of this guy, and that he probably put him on a polygraph. He'd probably be telling the truth as far as he knows. But it goes back to we've talked about it before, the compartmentalization, and it's just a need to know basis. And we got to get to the person that connects these dots, because we can have a million committee hearings and people, oh, you need to have this person, you need to have that person. Well, why? Because they're on TV talking to them about it. No. I need to have somebody that has knowledge of what's going on, can tell us where, when, and why, who's doing it, who's pulling the strings. Luna and I talked, or there's actually somebody who's in the Democrat administration that we think would be an excellent witness, because it, us being Republicans, calling a Democrat in and not in an adversarial role. And I think that would be along those lines would be very good. But again, I'm very frustrated with the whole thing, just because the UFO community is turning on us on our own. I mean, they're doing what the big boys, you know, with the Pentagon and the rest of the people, that the intelligence people, that's what they do. They turn them on. They put disinformation out or put a bug in somebody's ear. And, you know, and I catch hell either way. I mean, no, you know, I totally expect my opposition this year in November to run ads. You know, all Burchett's concerned about is UFOs and little green men. We got people starving on the streets. Well, it's the committee of jurisdiction. I was asked, you know, the chairman and everybody else is, and the other members have asked me to get involved with this, to ask certain questions. And that's just the way it is. It just turns out I'm very interested in the UFO issue. I've been a follower of this issue, this phenomenon, most of my life, since I was in single digits, actually.
There's been a couple of statements about threats to life, and I'm wondering about these 40 whistleblowers, because we've heard a lot of talk about whistleblowers and that there's apparently upwards of 40 of them in the background that are, you know, potentially going to be speaking. Have you internally heard any whispers on the grapevine about that? Because people are starting to even doubt they exist at this point.
Well, if they watch your podcast, I would hope they'd call my office in Washington and let's sit down and talk about it, because I'd like to get them before the committee. That'd be the ultimate goal right there. That would be an excellent addition to our committee meeting.
Do you think there are legitimate threats to life in relation to talking about this subject?
I think so. I think so. I think that people are rightfully should be cautious. Very much so. Because this, if we get close to it, you'll see people, horrible things, you know, that, so they'll be found to be a traitor or something. You know, something's going to come out on them. You know, their second grade boyfriend or girlfriend's going to come out and say that they were, you know, whatever. And I mean, you saw Brush. I mean, just what he did. And then, you know, that shot over the bow they gave him, they've been holding on to that for a while. You know, and this small town reporter breaks this story. And I don't doubt that he did, but somebody has to whisper in somebody's ear to say, look here, look at this pocket. You know, don't look over in this closet over here, not over there.
It's pretty much common knowledge. I'm sure you'd agree with this, that presidents are basically temporary employees. So there's not really a need to read them in on every single coming and going in the classified world and the national security world. But in terms of modern presidents, who do you think is probably the most read in or briefed up with the UFO issue?
That's a good question, because I don't know that any of them really are. I can remember Reagan gave a speech one time at the UN. He said, what would happen if, just think how unified we'd be if we thought there was an external threat from this world, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Clinton made a joke about it at some speech. He read a letter from some kid and wanted to know, was it Area 51? And I thought, you know, it was an intelligent question. A young man asked a question. He's curious about something. And he kind of laughed about it and made a joke about it. And Obama did similar. Biden, I don't know. The jury's still out there. I think there's a lot going on cognitively with him. And I believe other people that are in control would have access, but they would not know where to look and they wouldn't know who to ask. So it's a very controlling situation. I guess I'd have to say our best shot would be Trump, just because he's kind of a cowboy. They don't know how to take him. They can't put him in a box, and the stuff that comes out on him, you'd think would shut him down, but then his numbers go up. It's an incredible phenomena. And I hope he sent a positive message to the UFO community at some point, though.
I have my suspicions on Obama, because he's made a lot of different comments on like late night shows and, you know, kind of offhand comments where he's laughing and smiling, but he seems to have like a pretty significant level of interest in the UFO subject. I have my suspicions about Obama.
Yeah, I don't doubt what you're saying. Now that you mention it, I've never had that question asked because I'm a short timer in Washington. I've only been there 6 years, so you got guys there in over 20 years. But again, it's never going to happen until political pressure happens, until it's advantageous for that man or that woman sitting on the throne, you know, is told to do it, and they do it.
What do you think about the British government and their involvement? Do you think we know more than we're letting on? Because we've been so quiet since 2017.
Y'all take it more serious. I think there's probably an internal struggle within your government over who should release, if it should any of this be released or not. And the ones who don't want it released are doing a pretty good job of keeping it that way. But you've got a growing group that I think is very strong, and it's very encouraging to me because it's going to be a dam break when it happens, when one of them puts it out and it's undeniable. And on the world stage, the others will just, it'll be over for them. They're not going to have any reason not to let it out. So I would kind of hope it's Trump, just for the historical perspective that maybe I had something to do with it, but that's selfish on my part. I don't care if it's Israel or England or Finland for that matter.
How much awareness is there amongst you and your colleagues who are invested in this issue on the role of the Department of Energy using nuclear secrecy acts and separate classification systems to hide UFO-related programs under the guise of a Nuclear Research and Development Act?
That's a great question. I don't know if you caught my questions to the head of that department, the lady, where I kind of teed her up, really. And Luna and I talked about that when she said, when I asked her if she'd heard of it or what, she said, didn't happen, wasn't, you know, whatever. I can't remember wording. And I just remember looking over at Luna and I saw her smiling and I thought, yeah, we got her.
Hey everybody, Tim Burchett, just leaving oversight. Several questions for Secretary Granholm, and she was clueless. I asked her about some recent UAP sightings and UFO situations that had been documented, and she kind of smirked. And she's very arrogant. She's condescending to the point, I think, but she was clueless, which is even worse. She wouldn't even come before the committee until we threatened a subpoena. Just the arrogance of these folks is just unbelievable.
What is the responsibility of the Federal Protective Services within the Nuclear Security Administration?
Are you talking about transporting fuels?
No, ma'am. I want you to speak. I was going to follow up with the numerous reports by the Federal Protective Services officers describing suspicious occurrences of UAPs over nuclear facilities.
Oh, let me just say the Defense Department has said there is no evidence of UFOs, et cetera, or aliens in the United States. However, at those sites, there may be drones that may be nefarious. And so we are definitely looking at that. And making sure that our national security sites are protected. We have a whole program related to countering drones that may be coming
okay.
from
Well, areas. This isn't about drones, and this is prior to drones even. What protocols does the Department of Energy have for reporting and responding to any UAP sightings near nuclear infrastructure? And people joke about this, but I get a lot of questions about this concerning this and about this hearing today from my constituents, so I would appreciate you answering that if there are any protocols.
Well, certainly there are protocols whenever we see anything unusual around our nuclear sites or our national security sites writ large.
And so Luna, you know, fired off about three or four different things. Either she was lying or she was very arrogant in her approach, and I believe there's a little bit of both. Ignorant or lying, I would say, you know, and I think she's a little bit, she was not telling the truth on some of it, but I think she probably didn't know. I think she's pretty clueless. She's one of those box checkers that we talked about. She fit a certain role. They needed a certain demographic in that position, and she fits it. She doesn't really have to be very knowledgeable, and obviously she wasn't read in on any of that stuff. And you would think Department of Energy, the head, would be all about security in and around especially nuclear facilities, but just how rough and tumble the world is right now.
Any last words for any potential whistleblowers who might be listening to this?
Yeah, I hope you'd call my office and set up a meeting. I'd love to meet with you. And we do need to work on our whistleblower protection, obviously, because I felt like we let Dave Gresh down, and he's a good dude.
Well, Tim, I appreciate you as always, and I hope you'll continue on pushing against this, even though it's obviously stressful. It's probably wearing you down a little bit, but we appreciate that you're still in the space trying to keep it going.
It does, but I'll drink another cup of coffee and I'll pull through.